Welcome to the first annual Cleveland Browns Daily OTA Awards Show, honoring the best that May and June workouts had to offer. Billy Crystal and Ellen DeGeneres are not available this afternoon, but standing in are Vic Carucci and Nathan Segura.
Yes, that was fantastic.
Great intro.
What a great intro. Yes, it is an award show. It is not a black tie affair. Sweats are approved when you're in attendance at the and shorts at the OTA Awards
right
here. And what we're going to do is we're going to have two segments dedicated to these OTA Awards. The first, which is now, we'll take a look on the offensive side of the ball, and we're going to have three MVPs, we're going to have five surprise standouts, and we're going to have one sleeper to watch on each side of the ball. We're going to count them back in reverse order. We're going to start on the offensive side with our three offensive MVPs of the OTAs.
Number three.
Vic, why don't you bat leadoff here for us here on the offensive MVPs of training camp? Your number three MVP.
My number three MVP is going to be the rookie running back, Terrence West. Guy has been a consistent force throughout these OTAs, as consistent a force as a running back in non-contact drills can be. Do I always need to say that disclaimer? I guess I do, and I will. Just running, more gliding than running, explosive through the hole, does that one cut thing very well, and just easy to notice this guy. We've kind of been saying that from day one of these workouts.
Yeah, we have been saying that from day one in these workouts. He has looked very good. My number three, though, is also a new addition, but not at the running back position. It is the new slot receiver of the Cleveland Browns, number 16, Andrew Hawkins. You can see that he can get open at will. He makes great catches. His speed and acceleration and his ability to change direction is like nothing I've ever seen live before in person. I think he can be a big-time weapon. Think a guy like Wes Welker, a little smaller. That's the one concern there, but certainly with more speed and the ability to take a short play and make it a big play. Andrew Hawkins has been an MVP.
Number two.
Well, this is where I put Andrew Hawkins. I think, as you just stated, all those reasons, if he approaches anything along the lines of a Wes Welker for this team, what a weapon he would be. What a difference maker he could be, because not only is he going to be productive in his own right, moving the chains, making those plays underneath coverage, he's going to open things up for other people. That is something this team has sorely lacked for a long time. Really no compliments to big-time players, i.e. the Josh Gordons and Jordan Camerons. Andrew Hawkins, number two for me.
Number two for me is the tight end, Jordan Cameron. I think he's been an absolute standout at this camp. Looks every bit the Pro Bowler, and to me looks better, looks smoother, looks faster. He is the one guy for this offense that has made big plays every single day. He has been a go-to guy in the red zone, just seems to be improving, diversifying his route tree, working the underneath routes and the stopping routes, the comebacks better than I've ever seen him. We know how good he is going down the seam, running the corners and the posts. He has been dominant. Jordan Cameron is poised for a monster season in this Kyle Shanahan offense.
Number one.
Well, and this is where I place Jordan Cameron for all of the above, what you said, and I'm going to add this. I think it's been transformative, what he has done from last year to this year. And to say that about a guy who caught 81 passes and made his first Pro Bowl is saying a lot. He's taken his game to an entirely new level. I think he is seeing things much better from a defensive standpoint, the coverages. That has been pounded into his head. The coaching staff has worked with him closely. Brian Angelicchio, the new tight ends coach especially. I think finding ways to already improve his game, and he's been diligent with his effort, his conditioning, his athleticism. It seems to mean even more to him. I think the boost that he got from being a Pro Bowler last year has carried over into this year, and he wants to show not only was that not a one fluke, one season thing, that he could be a dominant player at the position. And I think we've been seeing it in practice with, at times, not very good quarterback play or quarterbacks who are kind of finding their way around. And you're right, he makes those plays in the red zone. He makes those plays in the open field. And the exceptional play that everyone raved about the other day on Tuesday, that Johnny Manziel rolled far to his right, and as much as anything else, made a great throw from Manziel, it was also a magnificent pattern and catch by Jordan Cameron. And that, to me, is something we can see time and again from this player.
And my number one offensive MVP, because I see what we did here, and it's going to end up making sense down the road. But for me, it is Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon has been everything that you would expect Josh Gordon to be on the field. He is, in many respects, the best and most talented offensive player on the field. And since he has not yet been suspended, he's been out there for OTAs, and he has absolutely been phenomenal. You see this guy out there, the things he does, he makes it look easy. He is uncoverable on that 20-yard post. I mean, literally, every single day he catches that, he looks like the best wide receiver in football, and that's why he is my number one offensive MVP.
And I'm not, and this will smack of me holding against him the uncertainty, I'm really not doing that. I have felt, just practice in and practice out, Jordan Cameron has had the edge. And when you're giving an edge over a player like that, yeah, you're giving a lot. I think Josh Gordon just is doing what you expect Josh Gordon to do. What these selections are reflective of, I hope, is what's catching my eye now, what's new about this football team, and that's why this list is two of the three are newcomers.
All right, there you go. All right, we're going to move on. So Josh Gordon left out of the MVP votes by Notorious, but that's okay. Now we're going to go to what are our five offensive surprise standouts at this camp in these OTAs as the OTA awards continue. We'll start with number five.
Number five.
All right, on the surprise side here, I'm going to put a running back who, we'll see, he's got a long shot to maybe make this football team, but I think Edwin Baker has at least put forth the effort. I think he knows. You want to talk about a guy being inspired by competition. He looks around and sees Ben Tate show up, and Ben Tate likely have the inside track on a starting spot or at least a very regular role. And then Terrence West gets drafted and doing the things he's done. And they're the standard setters of this group. But I'll give Edwin Baker credit. Time after time, he's trying to be explosive. He's trying to do the things he does well. And looks like an inspired player, a desperate player trying to make a football team. So I'll put him in that five slot.
All right. At the fifth spot for me has been Willie Snead, the undrafted free agent wide receiver from Ball State. Not only is he in the running for the best hair in the OTAs without question, he has been productive on the field, and there is nothing about him when you watch him that really makes you say, my goodness, this guy is going to be an unbelievable player in the NFL. But he gets open, he makes plays, he uses his body very effectively, and what I love about him is his routes all look exactly the same. And Anthony Armstrong talked about what a good trait that is for a wide receiver, and he doesn't have to slow down. He runs his routes very precisely and maintains his speed in and out of his breaks. He's been a nice surprise for me, Willie Snead, number 83.
Number four.
And this is where Willie Snead goes for me at number four. It's probably the hair envy thing on my part, but I do think he's done exceptionally well for just what he is. This undrafted guy, Ball State, smaller school, but has definitely done enough to command some attention and good attention.
All right, my number four on the surprise standout list is going to be Joel Bitonio, the second-round pick of the Cleveland Browns. We know that he did suffer an injury at the OTAs earlier this week, but to me, he's been a guy that has stood out. His ability to get off the ball, explode at the guard position. I expect him to start week number one when he is ready to go. He has been a surprise standout to me. Not so much of a surprise, but more of just a standout. But he wasn't on the MVP level, but I wanted to give him some acknowledgement. So Joel Bitonio, number four for me.
Number three.
Number three for me on this list will be Marquise Gray, the tight end who I think has done a really nice job of not being forgotten completely because Jordan Cameron's out there and he sets that standard for tight end. I think he provides some hope of another guy who could step in and in certain situations make some plays. He's also been a hybrid player, kind of used as a quasi-fullback. This is a different kind of blocking scheme. The fullbacks aren't used as traditional blockers all the time. It's really more of a, there are one-back sets even when there are two running backs in the backfield. And that'll make sense to you when you watch this in training camp, but that other back doesn't truly function the way you expect backs to do, and they're often, you know, involved in pass protection while the other back is either running out on a pattern, taking the handoff, or running a pattern. And then with Marquise Gray, you've got multiple options. You've got him as a guy who I think does a credible job trying to hold up in blocking, but more importantly, he is a really good athlete who gets open. And I think in this tight end friendly offense, Marquise Gray could make a little bit of an impact.
All right. Now, what's interesting, folks, is that Vic and I did not consult on these at all. You might not believe us, but we did not. My number three surprise standout on the offensive side of the ball through the OTAs is tight end Marquise Gray. I think he has improved significantly as a route runner. He is catching the football well, and if you watch him as a blocker when he's playing some of that fullback, he's doing great. He's good in blitz pickups. He was the guy, if you go back and watch that highlight play of Johnny to Jordan Cameron, that peeled off to the right and actually set that back edge and got the defensive back coming around the top to allow Johnny to step up and make that throw to Cameron. He's got the speed in the zone scheme to set the edge from that fullback position on tosses and sweeps. He and stretch plays, he's looked very good to me. I think right now he may be the second best pass catching tight end on the team, and his flexibility, versatility that he's seeing lining up some at fullback as well has stood out. He's made big strides since last year. Marquise Gray, my number three offensive surprise standout.
Number two.
Here I go with wide receiver Anthony Armstrong. He has been probably as consistent as any receiver not named Josh Gordon on this football team. I think he's, take that also to Baby Hawk as well, Andrew Hawkins. I think Anthony Armstrong has shown, for a guy who is a true fringe player, who spent time in not even the Arena League, but the subsidiary of the Arena League or whatever that arena those teams were before he even got a cup of coffee in the National Football League, and then finally got a little time those 2 years with the Washington Redskins, and that's helping him because he worked with Kyle Shanahan there. He knows this offense well, and again, he's an older guy. He's a 30-plus-year-old guy, and he brings some wisdom with him. You heard him on the show earlier this week. Nathan referenced what he said about making all those patterns look the same. He is a thinking man's receiver. I think that's helping the other receivers on this team. But for his own part, the guy catches the ball well. He gets open consistently. He shows far better speed than 31-year-old legs are supposed to show, generally speaking. I think he gets off the ball explosively and is smart about his separation and knowing when the proper depths of his route to take to stem the routes, whatever they might be. And more times than not, Anthony Armstrong is doing the right thing. And in his own way, being a little bit of a teacher mentor to some of the other receivers, even those with the same level of experience.
And great minds, they think alike, Notorious. Number two on my offensive prize standouts is Anthony Armstrong, number 86 for this team. A guy who had 7 catches of more than 40 yards a few years ago for Kyle Shanahan in Washington. Made a big play today on a deep post from Brian Hoyer on a great pitch and catch there. Armstrong continues to make great catches down the field. He continues to be, to me, the standout of the veteran additions. I think that he certainly right now, if you're asking me, are my rankings ahead of Earl Bennett from that kind of veteran group there. He has stood out to me, continues to make big plays, been a phenomenal addition to this team, and you can see him coaching guys up constantly on the sideline. He is the man, no doubt about it, looking very, very good.
Number one.
And this is where I go with Joel Bitonio. You're right. I, for the same reasons that you put him on this list, just because I wanted to put him on the MVP list, but I just couldn't squeeze him ahead of guys that on a regular basis have done more eye-catching things. Harder for an offensive lineman to do that, especially an interior offensive lineman. But Joel Bitonio, while he was out there prior to suffering an injury, was so impressive and I think vital to the chances of this offense, making improvement and definitely upgrading, I think, that guard position. I think he's got the best capability of anyone on this roster to make the interior of this line better than it was. He has a great first step. He has toughness. He has smarts. He has awareness. He is everything you could really want in alignment and versatile. He's a guy who's starting out at guard, could very well end up at center at some point, possibly whatever the future might bring contractually for an Alex Mack a few years down the line or a couple of years down the line. Joel Bitonio is the guy that I think as a and the surprise is you drafted him high enough to be in your starting lineup. The surprise, of course, is that he's doing that right away as a rookie.
And my number one offensive surprise standout ended up on your MVP list. So we basically had pretty much the same guys other than I think I had Josh Gordon and in the MVP. And who did you have at number five in your surprise standouts?
And on my surprise standouts, I had Edwin Baker.
Edwin Baker. Okay, yeah. So that's a difference.
But Terrence West was, yeah.
Terrence West is my number one offensive surprise standout, a guy – third rounder coming in, competing with Ben Tate. They look like they will form a dynamic 1-2 punch. And in fact, he has made Ben Tate's level of play pick up significantly the last few days. But West has been all that was advertised and more for a guy coming out of a small school who had over 2,500 yards and 41 touchdowns last year. I mean, those are career numbers. He did that last year, and you can see why. I can't wait to see people try to tackle him once the pads are on. So to recap, my five offensive surprise standouts are Willie Snead, the undrafted free agent wide receiver from Ball State, Joel Bitonio, Marquise Gray, Anthony Armstrong, and Terrence West were my five.
My five on the surprise side, Joel Bitonio going from 1 to 5. Joel Bitonio, Anthony Armstrong, Marquise Gray, Willie Snead, Edwin Baker, just giving him a nod because of the effort that he has put forth. And, of course, my top MVPs were Jordan Cameron, Andrew Hawkins, Terrence West.
All right, and my MVPs were Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, Andrew Hawkins. So a lot of it, we're seeing the same
we're
things, Notorious.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Now let's go to the final offensive OTA award category. One sleeper for the fans to kind of keep their eyes on at training camp.
My offensive sleeper, and he's been nestled in a bed for a while here, is unfortunately Isaiah Crowell.
You're stealing my thunder.
I'm sorry, buddy. But we see same like you said. We're watching these practices together, and we both share our notes with each other as we watch. But Isaiah Crowell, I think it was kind of obvious too because he looked so impressive in the rookie workouts and then ended up with a little bit of a physical issue here. He wasn't in the best shape while he was doing what he was doing out there, but caught the eye of the team. And look, there's minimal risk here. This is a guy with a very risky kind of off-field profile. Browns know that going in, but bringing him in as an undrafted free agent is really no risk from that standpoint. So the upside can be very huge for Isaiah Crowell. I don't know if it'll be this year as a running back on this team, given what's already in place, but I think the future could look bright for this guy. If especially he gets a chance to kind of heal and watch and learn and hone his skill. But what we've seen in a very brief flash or two or three is impressive.
Yeah, no question. I'm very excited to see him get out there. Just looking at him in that rookie minicamp, the way that he ran was very impressive. I think he's a guy who's going to make some noise for this team. And thus far on the side, you know, he's been doing everything the team has asked, and I'm looking forward to see him getting back into action when we get down into training camp this summer. And I'd also put an asterisk there next to Isaiah Crowell as another one to keep an eye on, and that's wide receiver Charles Johnson.
Yeah, Charles Johnson, I was surprised he didn't show up on your list because I knew that was a guy you would also kind of fixated on, focused on as a player, and with a lot of good reason. I don't know that I've seen him stand out as much as I'd like to this time around or as much as we were counting on. But
we haven't even got to see him yet. We were not going to see him until training camp.
His physical, that's what I'm saying. His health is the key here. But I'm saying I'm looking forward to that time and just watching him kind of do his individual things. I'm of a mind to say that, you know, will he get to that point? Will he have that time? Because every snap he misses, and the same with Crowell, guys not being involved through this portion of the workouts, it's going to hurt them. I mean, it absolutely has to hurt them when you're not being seen, when you're not developing any chemistry. You don't want to be throwing these guys into the last minute. I mean, not one of them is that good, honestly, to say, oh, yeah, we'll save a spot for you in July or August.
Well, we're going to see what he does when he gets out there. But he's certainly the guy who's got the size-speed combination. You're looking for a wide receiver, 6'3", 215, can run 4'3", 840, coming off that ACL injury, but was dominant for Green Bay, their practice squad player of the week, 6 weeks in a row before the Browns signed him off of their practice squad, and very, very interested to see him go. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and now we're going to come back with the defensive side of the ball. Our MVPs, our surprise standouts, and our sleeper to watch for you on the defensive side of the ball in the OTA Awards roll on here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
I got that real good, feel good stuff up under the seat of my big black jacked up.